It's the weekend edition of KKHI with myself, Spencer Keatsman, filling in. What a college basketball game we witnessed in the Final Four, an instant classic, as Gonzaga beats UCLA with a buzzer beater in overtime to set a date with Baylor in the title game on Monday night. The Kansas City Royals look good, but how good can they be? My thoughts on the Royals' opening series against the Rangers coming up. The PGA of America and the PGA Tour have said they are not going to lapse to social media warriors, and all events in Georgia will remain in Georgia. Good for them. And a former Kansas City radio host thinks you are a racist if you prefer college basketball over the NBA. My reaction to all this and more, it's the weekend edition of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
Wow, what a college basketball game we were treated here on a Saturday. It's a Saturday night when I'm recording this. Incredible. UCLA and Gonzaga. I've always been a Mick Cronin fan, by the way. When I was in Louisville, they played each other a lot. They were in the same league for the first year I was there, and then Louisville went to the ACC. So I saw Mick Cronin's Cincinnati teams up close, and they weren't great. They didn't have a whole lot of talent, but you could tell the guy could coach, and it was just a matter of time before he landed a big-time gig like UCLA, where you go and get five stars and can really make a run at it. Now, they didn't have a great year, UCLA. They were okay in the Pac-12. They had some injuries. They had some things go against them. They've got a lot of young players. Those guards are, they've got two sophomore guards that they start that are very good. And what a tournament run they had. Absolutely incredible. I didn't think this was going to be much of a game today at all. I think Gonzaga still is the best team. I mean, they've got four NBA players on the floor. They've just got all kinds of talent, and they're very good, well-coached, obviously. And I thought they would win this game by 10-plus points, sort of like Baylor did to Houston. But wow, what a game. It honestly reminded me a little bit of, and K-State fans will remember this, the 2010 Sweet 16 game against Xavier, where both teams were just bang, 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 taking shots back and forth. It ended up going into triple overtime. I think K-State won it in triple OT. That's right, yeah. It kind of had the feeling that it was going towards that. We were at least going to get a second overtime had Gonzaga not threw up the Hail Mary and hit the buzzer beater to win the game. Absolutely incredible. What I liked about this, and I think this speaks for who Mark Few is as a coach and as a guy who really had to work to get to where he is now. I mean, before he was at Gonzaga, that was just a nothing. It wasn't what it is now, obviously. When they hit the buzzer beater, it was Suggs who hit the buzzer beater. They show the team celebrating for about, I don't know, 10 seconds. Cool scene. Obviously, the players rushed onto the floor to celebrate. And then they show a shot of Mark Few, who isn't jumping up and down. He isn't waving his arms, pumping his fists like the Arkansas coach would do after they won their tournament games. He looked straight at Mick Cronin and kind of just shook his head and shrugged, almost like an, oh man, I'm so sorry. And because he knows like that what that feeling is like to have your heart ripped out in the NCAA tournament, and it wasn't an immediate, I'm going to go celebrate with my team. It's, oh my gosh, I respect this coach and this team across the floor from me so much. And he just looked and kind of shrugged, shook his head like, wow, what a tough way to go out. That's what I respected that so much about Mark Few in that moment. He went right to the other team and the other head coach, shook his hand and said, coach, great year, great basketball game. And it was almost like you should never apologize for winning a game, obviously, but that's kind of what it looked like. I like that. That's the stuff about sports that I like, and that sort of gamesmanship. What a basketball game. Baylor and Gonzaga on Monday night for the national championship. Hopefully you're listening to this before then. Baylor-Gonzaga Monday night, going to be a great one. Interested to see what that line's going to be and that over-under total is going to be when that thing comes out, because that could be interesting as well. Baseball is back, and I love it. I've always been a baseball guy, even when it's not really that cool to be a baseball guy. I love the game. I love it. I played as a kid, worked for Kansas State's baseball team in college. Got a Big 12 championship ring. It was cool. I've always loved the game. So the Royals are becoming a team. I was watching the game today. We'll talk about the pitching and all that, but I didn't pick it up until about the middle of the fourth inning. I was at my other job at the golf course, and I wasn't able to see the entire game. But I do have MLB TV for free, actually, through T-Mobile Sprint. So that's a pretty good deal. I'd recommend that. If you like baseball, if you've got T-Mobile and Sprint, just go out and get it. It's free. No free ads here, but I'm telling you, it's cool. You can watch any game. They got all sorts of stats and all sorts of cool features you can play along the side of the screen while you're watching the game. I like stuff like that. Anyways, you can feel the buzz in the fifth inning. The Rangers, first of all, this team is really bad. Let's see how many walks the Rangers had today. Okay, they only had four. It seems like a lot more. They walked a couple guys, and the moment where this game turned was there was a runner on first and third with one out, and I think the Royals had already scored two runs in the inning, so I think it's 4-2. And Whit Merrifield hits a hard-hit ground ball at second base, and for 90% of players, this would have been a double play. But Witt's got the speed, and he busted it up the line to stay safe, and he got the RBI. So it's 4-3. And it's the little things like that that this lineup can really do to irritate you. Here's this pitcher thinking he's got a ground ball double play out of the inning, boom, only giving up two runs. No. Gave up three. And that was a huge point of that game where the Royals really needed it. And that's just the type of player Whit Merrifield is. He's going to bust it up the line when he knows that if he's safe, he gets an RBI and the team gets a run. Most players that don't have his speed, that's a double play out of the inning. The Royals have a couple of guys like this in that lineup that could just do the little small things like that, like bust it up the line to first base to get yourself an RBI in what would be normally a double play and out of the inning. So that, to me, I noticed that right away. And then, of course, in the sixth today, it just took off. And this lineup just was raking. Everybody was getting in on the action today. Benintendi, 0-for-4. That's one thing. Soler didn't have a hit, but he walked. And he almost hit another home run. But everybody else in the lineup was raking. Merrifield, 2 hits. Sal Perez, 2 hits. Michael Taylor with a home run. And 2 hits. Kyle Isbell just tearing it up in his second major league game. 2 hits. Hanser Alberto had 2 hits. Is it Hanser or Hanser? I don't know. Nicky Lopez even had a hit. So the Royals are, if they can become a team that where you're standing on the mound and all of a sudden you're looking at trouble in the middle innings and this, you know what this lineup can be, could there be an intimidation factor? Could a pitcher, you know, get a little rattled with this lineup? He walked a couple of guys to lead off an inning. Uh-oh, this is trouble. And that's the thing. I'm wondering if the Royals can become that team to where no lead is safe for the opponent. 4-0 lead, no big deal. We know the Rangers suck. We know their pitching is just garbage. But still, you know, the Chiefs are that team. No lead is safe. Even if you get up on the Chiefs, they're going to come back and win. I'm wondering if the Royals, with this lineup, if they can have that kind of mentality and the attitude, and they definitely have the bats and the talent to do it, to where no lineup or no lead is safe for the other team. And if you're Kansas City, I think that's the spot you want to be in, where you can have that sort of, where your opponents can have that, oh crap, here we go moment. The Royals haven't had that feeling in a long time. They haven't had the feeling like, you know, they're just going to win games in a while. In these first two games, very small sample size against a bad team. That's what's happened. I never thought the Royals were out of it. Mike Minor comes in. He gets hit around a little bit in the first inning, walked a few guys. In the third inning, gives up 2 more runs. So he's given up 4 runs, and then he goes on and pitches 3 straight innings, 0s on the board. Kept his team in the game. So, I mean, it wasn't a great pitching performance, but it wasn't bad. He was good enough to get the win. He walked 2 guys, struck out 6, only gave up 4 hits. Did give up a home run to Joey Gallo, but that's what Joey Gallo does, is he hits home runs. And so he was fine. Got six innings, three really, really good ones after a shaky start, and the Royals got to the Rangers and to the Rangers bullpen in that sixth inning as well and just tattooed them. 11-4 win. I just think that this lineup has the potential to be something very good to where they can just intimidate people and steal bases and draw walks, be patient at the plate. They can do the things that 2015, 2014, 2015 teams did that just annoyed the living crap out of other teams. But now I think that they have more pop. They hit more home runs now. Those teams were not home run heavy teams. You know, they found gaps. They had some, obviously, Hosmer and Kane, great hitters. Moustakas, great hitter. Probably the best power hitter on that team was Moustakas. But they didn't light you up with home runs like they're doing now. I mean, Michael Taylor's got two. This is a guy that we thought was just going to come in, be a nice center fielder. You don't really expect a whole lot of him at the plate. And he's got two home runs in his first two games as a Royal. So, exciting stuff, man. This is fun. And I want this team to get through April. Let's get through April at like a 14-10 mark. I don't know how many games exactly they play. Roughly right around there. Let's do that and get into May with some fun competitive baseball looming ahead. If they can get through 14-10, I will be absolutely thrilled with the first month of the season with the Kansas City Royals. So, fun stuff, fun lineup. I'm really liking what I'm seeing so far. I think the pitching needs to be addressed. The bullpen was great today. Let's see who got in the pen today. It was Yunus came in. He pitched really well. Brents was good. Walked a guy, and then Jesse Hahn and Stalmont. I think Stalmont's your closer. he should be, at least. I mean, the guy throws the ball 102 miles an hour. We'll see how the bullpen shapes out throughout the season. So, incredible stuff. Very fun to watch. No matter when you're listening to this, just my sort of reaction to what we've seen from the Royals so far, and I like what I'm seeing. All right, to the situation in Georgia with the voting rights and Major League Baseball pulling the All-Star game out of SunTrust Ballpark in Cobb County, Georgia. Yes. What a bummer for the city of Atlanta, first of all, because this is a beautiful facility. And the way that they did this with the funding and what the revenue, they have a whole entertainment area there as well, sort of, I guess, like the Kansas City Power and Light, but I think it's a lot bigger than that. I think there's shopping. I think there's all kinds of stuff. It's a huge multi-million dollar development in the northwest part of Atlanta. And what I've read is that a lot of the revenue that's generated from that area, the ballpark, there's a certain amount of it that goes towards public education in Cobb County, Georgia, which has a lot of people. This is one of the biggest counties in the country. And imagine the amount of revenue. Let's say they get to the All-Star game in the middle of July and Georgia's a full go, full attendance by then, which I don't know if they would be. I'm just saying, let's say they are. The amount of money that is being ripped away from that community now is just insane. The millions of dollars of revenue that would be generated would really help the economy, education, all sorts of things. It's just such a bummer for Atlanta, and I don't get this. And I know it's the players, association with Major League Baseball that were kind of outspoken about this and wanting to get the game out of Atlanta for these reasons. But I sports are political now. They have been. They always have been, really. And it's more so now. It's magnified by 1,000. This is the kind of stuff that needs to stay separated. And the PGA Tour is on board with keeping these separated. They had a great statement. Now, obviously, the Masters is this week. That is an event. A lot of people were like, boycott the Masters. It's in Georgia, blah, blah, blah. You know what? That's not run by the PGA Tour. There is nothing they can do about that. It's run by Augusta National Golf Club. It is not a PGA Tour, run event. It's not the PGA of America has nothing to do with it. It's Augusta National Golf Club. They haven't said diddly squat about this, and they're not going to. So, the Masters is happening. There's no question about that. But the PGA Tour does have two events this year that's held in the state of Georgia, and one of them is the Tour Championship, for the final event for the FedEx Cup playoffs, is at Eastlake in Atlanta, and they also have another one in Sea Island, Georgia. I can't remember. RSM Classic, Sea Island, Georgia. I believe that's in the fall. So that I think that's part of the next year's PGA Tour season cycle. But the PGA Tour had a great quote today. PGA of America, on our intention to stage an event in a particular market should not be construed as indifference to the current national conversation about voting rights. Boom. What a great statement there. It's how it should be. Indifference. We have nothing to do with that. We're going to keep our tour events scheduled in Atlanta. We're going to put thousands of people on Eastlake Country Club or golf course, whatever it's called, and we're going to hold a great event. This is a fun tournament, too. If you remember, Tiger Woods won it a couple years ago, and people flooded the fairways. It was his first win in I don't know how long. He went on to win the Masters the next year. So what a great statement. I'm all for this, and this is the way things should be. Separate sports from politics in this regards as to where events are going to be held. Good for the PGA Tour. Again, the PGA Tour, these are very, very conservative people for the most part. They haven't really been outspoken about a whole lot of stuff in terms of political issues. Justin Thomas had his slip up back in February where he said a homophobic slur. And that was really, that didn't last long. Like, there was no huge, like, cancel Justin Thomas campaign after that. He didn't actually say it to an individual. He just kind of said it out loud himself. You know, we all say things when we miss putts that aren't the best things ever. You're frustrated. You're in the moment. And I'm not defending what he said. You can't say that, especially when you're on TV. But the PGA Tour has, for the most part, stayed out of the political landscape of things. And they've done a pretty good job of it. So, good to see that the PGA Tour is holding strong. They're not even considering pulling the FedEx Club Championship out of Atlanta. It's not happening. Moving on, I wanted to get into this a little bit, just for a second. My dad made a Twitter deal with Nick Wright earlier this week, and not only do I think my dad is right about a lot of things. That's something I didn't say much before I turned 25. Right around 25, I was like, oh gosh, Dad was right about a lot of stuff. I don't know what I'm doing. just simple things like that. You know, I feel like a lot of kids realize that their parents were right about pretty much everything growing up once they reach an age of like their mid-20s, because things start to make more sense. Nick Wright basically said that anybody... He said this on Twitter. I'm paraphrasing it. He said that anybody who prefers the college game over the NBA game are racist. And he also said something about, like, this happened a lot in his hometown of Kansas City. Obviously, we don't have the NBA, but we've got Kansas basketball in Kansas City, which is a pretty big deal. So those who prefer Kansas basketball games over NBA games are racist, right? Man, if you love Mizzou, you love watching your Missouri Tigers on a Wednesday night instead of tuning in to Golden State in San Antonio at 9:30 at night, that makes you a racist. If you like watching brusketball, man, you love those Wildcats. They didn't win many games last year, but you'd rather watch that than an NBA game. Well, damn you, you are racist. What an insane thing to say. I mean... Do you think about this stuff before you type it out? I mean, I used to have Twitter slip-ups, nothing stupid like that, but I've tweeted things that I've come to regret that I'm like, wow, maybe I should just reread it instead of hitting send, because the internet is ink, not pencil. I was baffled by that, and Dad responded and basically, you know, told him off, and then Nick Wright responded as well, and then there is another guy who used to work at 610 who chimed in as well. He is no longer there either. He is in Chicago. And a lot of listeners probably know who I'm talking about. But these are guys that, while they were on their afternoon shows at 610, just getting absolutely roasted in ratings by KK, just constant attacks, whether it's Twitter, on air. And I never really listened to 610 growing up, but I would hear about some things that they would say. And just to take shots at my dad, who had the highest rated afternoon sports show in town. And now all of a sudden they get it thrown back at them. They, you know, dad fires back at them, and it's oh no, you sad, pathetic little man, blah, blah, blah. These are guys that took absolute ridiculous shots at my dad for years. Years. And I'll tell you this, I don't ever remember hearing or ever even listening to a show of my dad's where he even mentioned anybody in sports radio in Kansas City. Not one time. And they would just get absolutely destroyed by 810. They've closed the gap now. It's different now. But back then, it wasn't. I mean, they were getting beat by Petro was beating them. My dad was beating them. I'm not sure if how the morning show did, but I assume they were winning that as well for a good amount of time. But it's just insane what these guys can say. And then not get it, and then when they get it thrown back at him, my dad's the bad guy, and they're the victims. It's insane. I'll tell you a quick little thing. And I don't know if he was joking or not, but the only encounter I ever had with Danny Parkins was about a year and a half ago. Dad was still at 810. We were out here in Arizona covering the Royals for spring training. And when I would help my dad out, get some sound. A lot of the games were going on while he was on the air. So I went out to a couple of them while he was in town just to get Ned Yost postgame sound, some player sound, stuff like that, and sent it to my dad for him to play on a show. And so I run into him in the press box, and I didn't know what he looked like. I had heard his name before. I when I saw like who his badge and what, I was like, oh, it's Danny Park. It's cool, whatever. And I was introduced by a man that worked at 810 at the time, introduced me and was like, this is Kevin's son. And then Parkin said something like, oh, must be nice having your dad as the boss, right? And I'm like, no, I don't work for 810. I'm just helping him out. I'm taking no money for this whatsoever. I work at 98.7 in Arizona. And then the guy that introduced me to Danny quickly stepped in, to his credit, and said, oh, no, he's not with us. it was weird. I don't know if he was kidding, but I mean, like, it's simple things like that, which is basically an accusation of me being privileged, which I am very privileged in a lot of things. I've been very fortunate in life. I've got to experience a lot of things because of who my dad is that a lot of kids don't get to experience. I mean, I've been to a Super Bowl, multiple All-Star games, Final Four, NCAA tournament. I've seen a lot of stuff from a different perspective that a lot of people my age didn't get the opportunity to, and I'm very grateful for that. But it's just little snide things like that, and I just don't like it. I don't understand what would drive a person to say that. He didn't ask, oh, hey, how are you? What, you know, what do you do? It was, oh, must be nice having your dad as the boss. Come on, man. Like, I was just blown away by that. And if I was younger at the time, I would think I was 29 at the time. If I was in my early 20s at the time, I might have chirped back a little differently. I didn't say anything. I just was like, no, I don't work for A10. I never have. So these guys just had taken shots at my dad for years, and then my dad fires back with one logical point on Twitter to Nick Wright saying, by the way, college basketball players are just as black as NBA players. It's racism has nothing to do with why people want to prefer college basketball over the NBA. I prefer college basketball over the NBA a lot of times. I think the overall like game in the NBA, the playoffs are great. They're fun to watch. The scoring is outstanding. The level of basketball is obviously much higher in the NBA. But then you get games like what happened today with Gonzaga and UCLA. absolutely incredible. And the passion and the drama is there. I prefer that. I'm sorry. I prefer that over watching a 124 to 114 NBA game. I really do. But that doesn't make me racist, and that's ridiculous. That's going to do it for me on this week's weekend edition of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Hope everyone has a great week. Hope you enjoy the national championship game on Monday night, and hope you enjoy watching the Royals this week. They're looking good. A lot of fun to watch. Take care, everybody. Be well.